That's great to see everyone out this morning. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 8. And we'll be looking at verses 6 through 14. Deuteronomy 8. One boy was talking to another boy. He said, "My great-grandfather fought with Napoleon. My grandfather fought with the French. And my father fought with the Americans." The other little boy looked at him and said, "Your relatives couldn't get along with anybody, could they?" You know, today, the United States is celebrating a crucial moment in the history of our nation. You know, the signing of the Declaration of Independence is just passed a few days ago, and as we look back at the event, we need to realize that it was a faithful and very dangerous decision for each man who dared to sign that declaration. In fact, as John Adams signed it, he said, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence, and if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." It's the kind of patriotism which led men armed with little more than hunting rifles to engage in battle with what was the most powerful army in the world at that time. Many of our forefathers paid a terrible price at the Revolutionary War, but finally they won the victory so that you and I might be citizens of this land, of the free, and home of the brave. But what we often forget is that in declaring their independence from England, our forefathers made an equally strong declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. So, the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence begins with these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The closing words of the Declaration solemnly states, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." It's important to remember that this declaration of their dependence upon God, for in a time of world turmoil, the United States today is rapidly forgetting the God of our fathers, the God who gave this nation its birth and its greatness. I trust that all of you recognize the name of Patrick Henry, but I'm afraid many of our school children know nothing about him at all. Now, Patrick Henry was a famous statesman of colonial Virginia. In 1764, he was elected to the Virginia House of Burgesses, where he became a champion on the frontier people, supporting their rights against the arrogant exercise of power by the aristocracy. In 1774, he was a delegate to the First Continental Congress. In 1775, before the Virginia Provincial Convention, which was deeply divided between those who supported England and those who desired freedom, he uttered his most famous words, "Give me liberty or give me death." During the Revolutionary War, he became a commander-in-chief of Virginia's military forces. He was a member of the Second Continental Congress. He helped draw up the first Constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia and was primarily responsible for drawing up amendments to our Constitution, which we know as the Bill of Rights. Listen to his words. He says, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." His last will and testament was filed in the Brookneal County Courthouse in Virginia. Reading his will, and you'll see that he bequeaths everything to his children, just as most people do. But the last paragraph is very interesting. He wrote, "I have now given everything I own to my children. There is one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is Christ. Because if they have everything I gave them and don't have Christ, they have nothing." So, you know, we love the stories of Patrick Henry and George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and, you know, all the other patriots who gave of themselves so that we might enjoy these freedoms that we have today. But we also need to remember and be reminded again of the solemn warning that God gave to another nation, which was experiencing the thrill of independence after centuries of slavery in Egypt. Although it was written over 3,000 years ago, this warning could very well be applied to the United States today. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 6 through 14, Moses tells the people, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, where you shall eat food without scarcity. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Let's read our verses before we get too far in here. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 6. "So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, lands of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hill you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." We need to watch out that we don't forget God in our lives. And what Moses was telling these people is, when you get rich, when life gets easy and you lift yourself up, you tend to trust in that. Studying in the book of James, we learned of all the things that grew in that land. And just about every month had some sort of harvest of some good thing that they had at the time. So it was a busy season of harvesting all they had. And they did get rich from it. And they did walk away from God, unfortunately, many times. Now, the testimony of history has made it abundantly clear that not only nations, but also individuals need to heed that warning. The greatness of a nation is not measured by its military power, technological advancements, or national wealth. Righteousness and justice are the determining factors. In Proverbs 14:34, Solomon wrote, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." You know, someone once wrote, "What in the world is happening to our kids today? Let's see. I think it started with Madeline Murray O'Hare complaining that she didn't want prayer in our school. And our Supreme Court said, okay. Then someone said, you had better not read that Bible in school. The Bible that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. And our nation said, okay. Dr. Benjamin Spock said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped, and we might damage their self-esteem. So we said, okay. Then someone said that teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. And our administrator said, no one in this school is to touch a student when he misbehaves because we don't want any bad publicity. And we surely don't want to be sued. So now we ask ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother some of them to kill their fellow human beings. Probably if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow in this world. What a concept. And we must not let our freedoms get out of hand. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, "At one time we were foolish and disobedient, deceived and entangled by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." This is the enslaving and deceiving nature of sin. People who are caught up in sin think they are free, but in reality, they're a slave to that sin. And, you know, if that doesn't sound like America today and the rest of the world, I don't know what does. You know, if you go to any drunk laying in a gutter on the street and say, "I want to set you free from alcoholism," he'll say, "I'm not a slave to anyone. Give me back that bottle." You know, the prodigal son came to his father and said, "I want to be free. Give me what is mine." Then he wandered into a far country, saying, "I'm free, I'm free." But that freedom was brief. And because of his sin, he became a slave to those around him. and had to do what was anathema to a Jewish person at that time, and that was to slop pigs and virtually live with them. It was not until he came home and submitted to the Father that he really found freedom in his life. People are a slave to sin and they just don't see it. They're blind to the shackles that bind them to that. And they look at us today and they think, oh, look at those people. They look at us and say, we're not free. We're a slave to His. We're here this morning because God calls us to assemble. We pray because God calls us to have a relationship with Him. We read our Bible because that's our way of communicating back and forth with Him. He calls us to meditate. And people say, oh, you're just wasting your time. People say all those things, but in reality, they're a slave to what's out there. Our real freedom is what comes in Christ. So when we stand back and look at this land of the free, we begin to wonder, is there any real freedom around? But thank God, as Christians, we have a greater freedom than any constitution can grant us. We have the freedom that is offered by Christ Jesus. There's a word for freedom in the New Testament, and it is the word redemption. Redemption means to be set free. It means that we have been bought with a price, that we have been freed of our bondage, and now we are truly free. In Paul's letter to Titus, he tells us that we have been set free from the bondages of sin. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, godly lives in this present age. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. So we don't see a whole lot of people wanting to do what's good out there. We don't see a whole lot of people wanting to follow God. And we see that left and right. And I know sometimes it kind of looks like we're not going to win. Why don't we just give up and just let them do what they want to do? But we have to be that clarion call. We have to be the person that says that this is not right by God. You have people in some churches who are distorting what God says. God never said do some of the things. God never said they were just good suggestions. God never said, I'll take your worship any way you want to worship me. Aaron's sons found that out the hard way when they offered up a strange fire to God and were burned. We learn these things, that God wants us to act in a specific type of way. He wants us to obey Him in a certain kind of way. He wants us to follow Him in a certain kind of way. And there are nuances that each of us as personal human beings follow. But in essence, we follow God. And that makes us free. Something this old world cannot do for us. This world cannot make us free. This world can enslave us. We'll be a slave to, the mortgage if we just have to have the mansion like, Joe Blow down the street. We'll be a slave to the car payment if we have to have something that's way out of our means that we really can't afford. And we'll be a slave to sin if we allow ourselves to get into that sin and live in that sin and be with it each and every day. True freedom and true peace with God is only found through Jesus Christ. And He prescribed that way for us to get there. He set that way and that course for us and told us not to deviate. He told His apostles before He went and died on the cross for us, if you love Me, keep My commandments, just as I keep the commandments of My Father who sent Me. Do you think Jesus, ventured anywhere off of what His Father wanted Him to do? Did He wing it while He was on earth? I don't think so. I think He followed His Father. And He followed to the cross so that you and I can have a relationship with Him. And today we stand in the freest country on the face of the earth. But our religious convictions are being challenged each and every day. And little by little, our freedoms and religious freedoms are being whittled away, especially in the public square. But we have to stand tall. We have to, like Ezekiel said, looking for a man to stand in the gap. When they were rebuilding the wall, when they were set free and went back, they not only had to try to establish the city again and build the temple, but they had to build a wall again. And a wall was important because it kept marauders out. And Ezekiel called for someone to stand in the gap. In other words, in the gap of that wall with their bow and arrow, laying bricks and watching for the enemy. And that call goes out to every Christian today. As we celebrate being a free nation, as we celebrate the freedoms and this great experiment that started 200 something years ago, we have to remember that God places a responsibility upon us to speak His word, to defend His word in love, of course, and to be that shining beacon on a hill that calls those who are despondent, those who are trapped by sin, those who are enslaved by sin, those who think they're free but aren't free, that they can find true peace and freedom in Christ, that they can find the answers to what they're looking for. What is my purpose on this earth? And where do I go from here? You know, I don't know what your condition is this morning, or you might have need of the church in some sort of way, but if you have need, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?